Genesis chapter 33, starting from verse 1.
And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids.
Now here we see, last time we heard that Jacob wrestled with the angel. And angel was tired, and angel said to Jacob, let me go. He said, day is approaching. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he was blessed. And angel said, what's your name? He says, my name is Jacob. He changed his name. Now you're not going to be deceiver. You're not going to trick somebody. You're going to be a blessing to somebody. And you're going to be prince. And so his heart was changed. God blessed him. And as soon as the angel disappeared, maybe they were wrestling on the floor, I don't know, or wrestling in the dream, or actually they were standing, we don't know. But as soon as he lifted up his eyes, he says he saw his brother Esau coming. Now he was not coming alone. If you remember last time, he sent the spies and asked, what is the Esau's behavior or mood, or is he angry, is he peaceful? So Jacob sent some spies to find out what Esau is doing. And when Esau said, tell my brother, I'm coming to meet him with a 400 of my men. When that message came to Jacob, Jacob was so afraid. If my brother loves me, and if he forgot everything what happened between me and him, then he doesn't have to bring 400 soldiers or 400 people warrior with him. So he got so scared. He prayed to God and he reminded God, Lord, you know, you blessed me and you told me that my children will be like sand of the sea, and you're going to protect me. And so now the enemy is coming, my brother is coming, and we will be destroyed. And so he already said to the other, his servants, let's make two bands of animals. If one band is destroyed, at least we have one band of animals. And then he told his wives, first he lined the maidservants. Now the first maidservant is Zilpha. Now Zilpha and her children, and then Bilhah and her children, then Leah and her children, and then Rachel and Joseph the last. I don't know why he was doing this. He might be thinking if he's angry, he might kill the concubine and his children, and finally at least Rachel and her son will be spared. And that's the way he lined up the people, and now he's looking at his brother coming. Now, he's not too close. He's coming maybe hundreds of feet away as far as Jacob can see. 400 people coming. I don't know, they were coming on horses or they're coming on camels. If they're coming on camels, you can see them far away. And so that's the time he starts arranging everybody, and he goes in front of them. He was not afraid. If my brother kills me, I'll die before my children, my wife dies. And that's a courageous thing. Most of the people, sometime if somebody knocks at the door in the middle of the night, honey, could you see who is at the door? They don't want to get up. They want to, honey, to go and find out who the person is knocking at the door. The word of God says the man of the house has to have responsibility to take care of his family. He should be provider and protector. So Jacob is doing, he's saying, I'm going to die myself for my family. I'm going to meet my brother. But he's so humble. Now, as you know, last week we learned that Jacob was not allowing angel to go, so angel touched his thigh, and now he became like a lame person. He's limping. And so now he didn't want his brother to see he's limping Otherwise, he would have ran to see his brother. So what he's doing, he is just standing there as his brother coming and bowing down to him. Not one time. He might be giving 10 minutes or so. As he coming closer and closer, he start bowing himself one time, two times, three times. How many times? 7 times he bowed down before his brother. Let's read the verse 2.
And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother.
Means he keep on bowing down until he can see his face to face. His brother is looking from the camel or horse. Who is this man bowing down for 7 times? When he sees, that is my brother. And so let's read the verse 4.
And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept.
See what the Esau is doing? Jacob's prayer is answered. Jacob prayed that my brother's heart should be changed. He should not be killing me. And he prayed. Sometimes when you pray, you don't believe what you prayed. You pray and then you say, I don't think God is going to listen to my prayer. But once you pray, you believe that you receive it and you will have it. Jacob believed that I prayed to God and God is going to change my brother's heart. Did in action also. When you do something, you have to show in action. Faith works in action. If you have faith, then you have to do something. If somebody prayed for you and you are limping, and then the man of God says, now you are healed, then you try to walk and say, thank you, Jesus, I am healed. And you keep on doing it, and you will have your healing. So here, Jacob believed Esau already changed. But the Esau was the elder brother. So now he is saying, I'm the elder. I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to run for him. And he ran towards him. Not only running, now when he's running, and if he has the sword in his hand, or he has the rod in his hand, his brother will be running for his life, Jacob. But I think he threw everything and his hands are empty and he's coming like and coming to give him a hug. You can see the person. If you see their eyes, you can understand if they're angry or not. If you see their smile, you know they're not angry. And so he might be smiling, he might be happy, he might say, oh, my brother, Jacob. Whatever, and he's coming, running, hugging him, kissing him, and crying. And Jacob's heart already melted. And both of them crying and weeping and forgetting all the past. You know what Esau was saying? I am going to kill my brother Jacob as soon as my father dies. Father didn't die. Father was 100 years old. Jacob ran for his life. 20 years he stayed there. After 20 years he comes. And now his father is 120 and still alive. You will be reading, God gave Isaac a long, long life. So now he sees his brother, and they're forgetting all the past, crying and weeping and hugging each other. And I don't know whatever they said. It's not recorded. But I believe that he might have said, Brother Jacob, we were waiting for you for 20 years. Finally, I saw you, my brother. I love you, my brother. And let me tell you, our dad is alive. Mom is alive. And you don't have to worry. They are strong and healthy. Whenever you come, you will be seeing them. Why I'm saying this? Because if he would have said, Mommy is very sick. A father is already 20 years, he might die any minute. Jacob would have said, I want to go and meet them right away. But Jacob is not running to see mom and dad. They are seeing each other, whatever they talk, they hug each other, they kiss each other, and their anger is gone. If somebody wants to kill somebody, and that person is changed, and if you are angry with your brother or sister for a silly thing, don't you think you should forgive them? People keep the grudge for years. That is not good for anyone. When you keep the grudge, that anger is eating you. Anger is destroying you. You have to have the heart of forgiveness. If you don't forgive your brother or sister, but you will be having more problem in your own spirit. Once you forgive somebody, the burden will be rolled away. Many people have grudge and frustration. What happens? They get arthritis, crippling disease, and they might die. Anger can kill you. When you love somebody, your heart is rejoicing. And the Word of God says, merry heart is what? The best medicine. When you're joyful, when you rejoice, when you're happy, your sickness and disease will be gone. Many people, when they go to the doctor, and doctor tells them, they go very happy and healthy just for a checkup. When they go for a checkup and doctor says, we found something, I think it's a cancer. Right away, your face changes. Right away, your strength leaves you. And right away, you start calling many people, I'm going to die. And if you think like that, if the doctor says 6 months, you might die within 3 months, or you might die within a month, you might die within a day. You can get a heart attack. That's why I tell people, whose report are you listening? A doctor gave me the report. Forget that report. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and read. He says, who has believed our report? That report is Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. With his stripes we are healed. We have to remind people, don't you look at the doctor report. Do you know if you have a car 14 years old and you tell the man, you know what? I'm going on a trip. Check my car if there is something wrong. He will tell you 1,000 things wrong, more than your car's price. And you will say, hey, up to now my car was okay. But they will find so many problems. I went to inspection, not now, long time ago. My car was fine. The man says, leave your car here. Within a couple of hours, you come. I came after a couple of hours. He said, I have bad news for you. I said, what is it? Your muffler is bad. Do you know your muffler is bad? You can understand right away because the noise is different. His sound is different. I said, sir, my muffler was completely good. What did you do? Did you punch the hole or something? What the Bible teaches you, do not trust any man, do not trust any king, do not trust anyone, trust the living God. And that's why I trust. So I believe that God is the one who keeps us alive, keeps us strong, keeps us healthy. If somebody is dying, tell that man you have hope in Jesus Christ. And tell that man, repeat after me, I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live. And I am going to proclaim the works of God. And you will never die, because the word says so. The word of God gives us a life. We don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to worry. We have to believe. Esau might be happy and joyful. He forgot all the problems. 20 years is a long, long, long time. And he's happy, and Jacob is happy. Now no more problem between them. Verse 5.
And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant."
Now he looks at a little bit further. Who are these people? Oh, these are my children. He says, God has given me graciously. Without the grace of God, you cannot have anything. Whatever you have, the money, the children, the property, the house, the car, is all God's grace to you. Somebody says, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. I worked hard for these things. And they fight for the property and money and this and that. The word of God says, you know, God has given to you. And how? Graciously. Amen. When you work 8 hours or 7 days and hard work and you get the money and they say, wow, look at this money. I made it because I am smart. I am healthy. And that's my money. What will happen to your money? That money will fly. Before you come home, the money is gone in the bar, money is gone to the prostitute, or money is gone, stolen your wallet or something. When you get a check, paycheck, what do you say? Thank you, Jesus. This is all because of your grace. Because of your grace, you have given me this paycheck. I'm going to give my 10% to you, and you're going to bless the rest of money. When you start doing that, you will not have problem in your finances. You will not have problem with the sickness and disease. You will be healthy and prosperous. Am I telling my own? No, the Bible says so. Malachi chapter 3 verse 11, it says, 10 says, you give the tithe and I will open the heavenly windows. And the 11th verse, it said, then I will fight your devourer. Who is our devourer? The devil, the enemy, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. But what we're doing, if you go and read the Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, he says, you are robbing me. He says, I'm not robbing. How can I rob God? He says, you're robbing me with the tithes and offerings. There is a one preacher says, you know, You are driving that car. That's the robbed money. You robbed the tithe and bought the car. That is not your car. That's supposed to be God's money. And so we are robbing God. That's why we have a hole in the pocket. And so the word of God says, whatever God gives to you, give glory to God. Jacob is so happy. Do you know how much gift he gave to his brother? Last week we learned almost 440 sheep and goats, altogether 500, 600 animals, he gave it to his brother as a gift. Can you imagine if that much money, if you have to give gift, how much money you might have it? So this man was blessed, but he's not saying, you know, Esau, you fought with me, I left everything. My cows, my donkeys, my sheep, and my goats, I left with you. And I went running just for my clothes and rod in my hand, a little bit oil. And all of you, you took it, mine. He didn't say that. He said, God has blessed me. This is all God's children, and this is God has given to me. And they are all your servant. That means, we are all yours. Verse 6.
Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves, and after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord.
Now he's already told his children and wives, when you see my brother, bow down. Do you know how many people bowing down? Almost 12 children and 4 wives. So 16 people bowing down one after another. And 7 times Jacob bowed down. Now, over 23 times somebody is bowing down and showing humbleness. Esau might be thinking, wow, all of these children and his wives, well behaved. They all humble, all good. How did they learn? If the head is good, the body is good. If the man is the head of the house, man is good, then the whole house will be good. So you have to train your wife, you train your children, and train everyone to worship the Lord. He's bowing down to his brother, but actually we should be bowing down to God. We were singing one song, how we bow down to Jesus Christ, how bow down to God. We have to humble ourselves. And when you do it, then your children will learn. This is what the Jacob taught them. Worship the Lord. Learn about Jehovah. That's why Leah and Rachel left everything and they followed Jacob and Jehovah God. Okay, let's read the verse 9.
And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself.
Now here Jacob is giving almost 500-600 animals. And he said, you know, brother, I have enough. Keep yours what you have. You have all these children, all this big family. You need those things. Keep it. I was just thinking when Esau said this thing to his brother, Esau was not greedy. God changed his heart. Jacob left all his animals, and God multiplied even Esau. When your brother has so much money, then your brother is not coming to bugging you, give me money, give me money, give me this, give me that. So what I do, I pray for my brother's prosperity. I say, Lord, bless them. So I don't have to help them, you help them. And when they were small, and I was in America, I sent them money every month for their food, for their shelter, everything, for their education, I sent them money. And now, almost 40 years, only I stopped giving them money only last year. Why? Because everybody has a job. I even told my brothers, whatever education you want to get, whatever your children wants to study, doesn't matter they want to go for PhD, I will pay for it. Study and get good jobs. So thank God I am not worried about my brothers and sisters anymore. Why? Because they're doing well. If they were not doing well, then I would have a problem. I have to help them. And so here the word of God is saying, Esau saying, brother, I have enough. I don't need your stuff. I have enough. Keep your things for yourself. And see what Jacob is doing. Verse 10.
And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me.
Now when somebody reads that, it says that Jacob is making his brothers a god or something. But it's a hidden meaning, I'll tell you. First of all, Jacob says, you know, brother, God has given me a plenty. I have enough. And I send these things to you to find out if you take these things, then I know that you are gracious towards me. If you are not taking these things, that means you are still angry at me. And so I am giving these things to see that you have changed. And do you know, as I said last time, when you give somebody food, a glass of water, or time of need something, money or something, do you think they will be your enemy? They will like you. They will say, this is a good person. He cares about us. And so here he's saying, you please take this. And not only that, if you take these things, then I know that I found grace in your eyes. And he says, I'm requesting you, please take it. And now when he's asking him to take, he's saying another one good word for him. He says, you know what? When I saw you coming running, kissing me, hugging me, crying, smiling, when I saw all of these things, I start thanking God. Thank God that God has transformed you. When I'm seeing you, I see God in you. Just like when you somebody says somebody is a born-again Christian, what do we see? We see Christ in that person. So he's saying, I'm seeing God in you. When I see your face, because God never angry, God never kills, God never destroys, God always good towards you. So he says, I see, when I see the face of God, and how God is good with me, and how God is gracious towards me, when I see you, I see God's face in you. He's not saying you're God. He says, I see God in you. You're changed. You're my brother. And I love you. And if you really love me, please keep my stuff. And he's not saying just keep it. He says, please, please, please keep it. Could you please keep it? And he might be saying, please, so many times, please keep it, keep it. Finally, he said, okay, okay, I'll take it. Okay, let's read verse 11.
Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it.
Now again he's saying, you know what? Why I'm giving this? God has multiplied, and God is so gracious to me, and this is my gift to you. Please take it. And finally he said, okay, okay. If you don't take it, that means you are still angry at me. So he said, okay, I'll take it and I'll prove it to you. I'm not angry at you. And so he took it. Verse 12.
And he said, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them, one day all the flock will die.
Now what Jacob is saying, Brother Esau, you want me to go with you? That's a good idea. But I'm not going to hurry. I have little babies, goat babies and sheep babies and cow babies and all those, and I cannot drag them too fast. And he says what? One day, within a one day they will die. From that I understood Esau took a day's journey to meet his brother. Can you imagine? He was not waiting in front of his door that Jacob is coming. Sometimes, you know what happens if somebody tells you, I'm coming at 7 o'clock, and you're 7:05, you go on the door, here, there, that person is not coming. Esau was not looking at his door. He took a journey, one day's journey, to see his brother. That eager he was to see his brother. In modern time, somebody's coming from India, we go to New York, or somebody's coming from Africa, you go to New York to meet them, to pick them up. But we have cars and limousines, and we go and sit there and go. But Esau has to travel whole day's journey to meet his brother. So Jacob says, I appreciate taking one day's journey to seeing me, but I cannot run. If I run, all my stuff, my flock, my children, and everybody will die. So I want to take time. I'm going to go slow pace. Only thing, he said, okay, then what I'm going to do? First of all, he said, I'm going to lead you. Follow me. He said, no, you are too fast. Then he said, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep some of the people. I have 400 people. I keep the people like a watchman or guard to protect you. And so I leave these people with you, and I'll go. Jacob said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurry like this. I will take my time. Let's read verse 14.
Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. And Esau said, Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord.
So he said, You know what? You don't have to keep your 400 people or 200 people with me. You don't have to stick around here. You just go in peace. What I need, the grace of God. And you don't fight with me, and that's all I need. And you watch over me, you go home, you pray for my journey, but don't hurry me. God is with me. He was not afraid. He didn't say, okay, you can keep this 400 people, warrior, because we are going in the jungle. Many enemies will face me. I need them. Then you are depending on flesh. You are not depending on God. We have to trust in God. You have to trust that God is going to supply my needs. Because we cannot take care of everybody. God is the one taking care of people. The point I'm making, God is the one we want to trust. I went to pray for one person, 95 years old. And I was in some kind of school. There was a big stadium. And I was preaching there. And one teacher came to see me. He said, Could you come to my house? I said, Why? My dad is dying. I said, Okay, I'll come. And so I went there. The man is lying down. And all the relatives came to, maybe he's going to die so we can bury him. And I said to the brother, 95 years old, I said, Sir, would you like to be healed? He said, Yes. Okay, get out from the bed. And let's kneel down at the bedside. And I'm going to kneel down with you. You know what these children is? Oh, no, he's going to die. Don't touch him. I said, I'm not asking you. I'm asking him. That man, whatever the strength he had, he got up and knelt down with me. And we prayed. And I said, Now, God has already healed you. Get up. And he stood and said, Walk with me. And I'm walking with him in that house back and forth and back and forth. And the man was so happy. He says, 50 years I served the Lord, but I never saw that much faith and power. And that man lived, I don't know how, a couple of years, 4 or 5 years, I don't know. I didn't know, but he did not die at that particular time. What I'm trying to say, we have to trust in God. And people are saying, you're trying to kill that man. I'm not killing that man. I am increasing his faith. And the man was healed. And so he's saying, Brother, I don't trust your 400 people. I don't trust your strength. Let me trust in God. Just have mercy on me. You don't fight with me. I'll be okay. And that's the kind of faith we should have. We do not trust any person. At least I learned one thing. I never trust in anybody. My wife is a nurse. Looking at you, she will say, "You are something is bothering you." I never tell her. Several things she learns later on when I tell the church member what God has. You never told me. Because I do not want to tell my wife if I am having problem. I go to God, and God takes care of me. And if sometimes, if I'm having a high fever or something, and you can see your eyes, and then she will say, Oh, lie down, I'll make this soup. 10 times she will run around and take this and take this and take this. Point I'm making, I just trust in God. Since 1956, I'm repeating this all the time, 1956 until today, I never went to doctor's visit. I never took any single medicine in my body, and I never trust any doctor. Somebody say, oh, you don't have any problem. Oh, yeah. When you are alive, you will have problems. Other day, I was walking. The man was doing cement work here, and he put those metal nails, big nails, and he said, they are all sharp objects. Stay away. I said, I'll be careful. And I walk, and the nail cut me 1 inch. And when I came, I told my wife, you know, I got cut. She got mad. I said, give me some alcohol and some and a bandage. And I put it and I prayed, Lord, I don't want any problems. I kept that bandage for 2 weeks. I took it out and put it another and put it out. But I did not go to doctor. I did not put any medicine. If somebody says is something wrong, no. My heart was trusting in God. And then I heard a news. One lady got hurt and she got some kind of bruises. And she went in the water and she got flesh-eating disease. And when the flesh-eating disease, you can die within 2 days or 3 days. This flesh-eating disease, we never heard 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But what happened, when we preaching in the Bible, there was a king, he made himself like a god, and people start saying, this is the voice of God, and the worm ate him alive. People don't believe, how can this worm can eat him alive? Now they know. There is a disease called flesh-eating disease. But the point I'm making, even that when I was hearing that, devil is telling, see what? You have that problem in your leg, and if you go in the water or touch here and there, you will get that flesh-eating disease. I like, get out of here in the name of Jesus. And thank God my leg is okay. The point I'm making, I have a body just like you. And I get pain, I get suffering, but I call upon Jesus. When somebody get the snake bite, not ordinary snake, cobra, what would happen? People just hearing cobra bite dies, not even killing. One man was walking, and in a coconut shell, touched him in his foot, and he said, what is this? The man says, exactly this place, snake bit me. And he said, oh, this is snake? And he fell down and died. That was just the coconut shell and nothing. And he died with a fear. I got actually cobra biting me. And how do I know? Because there are mongoose in the plot. And the cobra snakes were going all around, I knew. And so, middle of the night, 12 o'clock, the cobra bites me. So I go to this man who's a landlord. I say, sir, what is this you think? When I showed him the wound, he says, that's the, in their language, he said, that's a jivudu. I said, what do you mean jivudu? He said, that's the cobra. We don't have to say name because that's our God. So he said, I'm going to call a taxi. You're going to go to hospital. I don't want you dying in my flat. I said, sir, your BP is crying. Did you do anything? He said, I bought the medicine and everything. She had the high fever. I said, can I touch and pray for her? He said, oh no, the cobra bit you means you are a cursed person. You don't touch my daughter. In India, what they do, if you got the cobra bite, they will get the drums. They beat the drums. Why? So you don't have to sleep. If you sleep, the poison goes to your body faster. So they beat the drums. So he said, don't sleep. I was so tired. And so my body was saying sleep. And so he said, don't sleep until at least 4 o'clock in the morning. was praying, and I saw a clock in a prayer, 4 o'clock. I said, well, that means I should be sleeping. And I went to bed, and then I'm waking up 4 o'clock again. So 4 o'clock for prayer time, and so I woke up and the baby is still crying. I went to say, sir, the baby is still crying whole night. Can I touch her and pray for her? He said, you are still alive? I said, yes. Touch the baby. As soon as I touched the baby, baby was completely stopped crying and the fever left. What I'm trying to say, if the cobra bit me and I didn't go to doctor, I'm still alive, why should I worry about a little bit bump here and there? I trust in God, and God protects me. And so the Word of God says we have to trust in God, and He will take care of us. We don't have to trust in the flesh, trust in money, trust in some relatives or friend. Trust in God. There is a song my daughter sings all the time. What a friend we have in Jesus. Read that song. That song will tell you everything. You do not have to trust anybody. Trust in Jesus. Okay, verse 16.
So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth.
Now see, Jacob, what he's doing. He said, bye-bye, my brother. I'll come slowly. But instead of going slowly, what he's doing? He built the house. He built the house on the place. And he built the tent for the cows and camels and all other things. So, and that means a Succoth. So he named that place. That was not Succoth place. He named that place. He built the house. I don't know what kind of house is better than the tent. And he stayed there. Not only that, this land, he bought it. You'll be learning later on. He bought the land for the 100 pieces of silver or gold. It just says 100 pieces of money, but it can be gold or can be silver. And he bought that land, and he built the house, and he put some tents for his animal. That means he was going to stay there for a long time. But you will see, sometimes God doesn't want you to sit in one place for a long time. God wants you to move. I'll tell you one Bible story. What the Lord says to the disciples, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. Starting from where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then uttermost part of the world. What happened? When they receive the Holy Spirit, they are not moving. They are staying in Jerusalem. Then what happened? It's the Saul. When he start killing them, they start running for their life. First person, Philip, went to Samaria, and everybody scattered, preaching the gospel. So the point I'm making, I was very comfortable in India. My church was the fastest growing church. And so people were coming from different states, just like here, people come from New York, New Jersey. The people were coming from different states to my church. One time one person came by plane from Nepal. And I was just fasting and praying, and I just finished my convention, and I was just going to eat and porridge. Instead of putting it in my mouth, I put it down and opened the door. I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, my son sent me a letter that here is a healing service is going on, and I came from Nepal. I have a cancer of stomach. I said, okay, God is going to heal you. I put my hand on his stomach and prayed in the name of Jesus. So God heard my prayer, and as soon as I said, how do you feel? He says, pain is gone. And he went to his son's house, and next day he went back to his country, means Nepal. And that brother came and said, you know what? My father is completely healed. What I'm trying to say, even though I was going to eat something and somebody comes, I put the food away and prayed for that person. Our life is not for us, our life for somebody else. So I start praying, Lord, my church is growing, people coming from different countries and this and that. And when I was praying and reading that Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you should be my witness around the world. I said, I went to India, everywhere. I went to each and every state in India. I learned the language of India. And I thought, I'm doing fine. So now I have to go to the next country, is Pakistan. 1965, I applied for Pakistan for visa. They refused to give me visa. And so I said, Lord, if I cannot go to my next country, Pakistan, how can I go to uttermost part of the world? God told me, I'll take you to America. America is a free country. From there, you can go around the world. It's a long story, but the point I'm making, God wants us to move. Now, the Jacob is making a tent there, house there. His brother wants to see there. Mother and father still alive. He doesn't care about father. He doesn't care about mother. Let me stay here and take care of my flocks and take care of my children. And he stayed there. Not only that, he even, let's read a little bit further. Next chapter, you'll know the problem, but let's finish this chapter.
And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel.
Now he bought the land from Shechem, and his brother is, we will learn later on, he got the land from them, and now he's pitching the tent and house. And not only that, he made the altar there. He wants sacrifice and praising God and glorifying God and thinking, this is the best place, like a peace. I'm going to stay here. And so he says, God of Israel, my God is living with me. I'm happy. I'm now in peace. But do you know, God wanted him to go back where he started. You remember, he saw the ladder, and he saw the dream, and he made the vow, and I'm going to come back and give my tithes and offerings. But now instead of going there, he's stuck here. He said, I bought the land here, I'm going to stay here. But the next week, we are going to see how he's running away from that land. So let's rise. And let's say, Lord, we are not going to make a decision for ourselves. We are going to leave it to you. When you say go, I go. When you say stay, I stay. And whatever the God says, you do, and you will be more than happy. Sometimes people say, Lord, talk to me. Wherever you send, I'll go. And God said, okay. You go to Africa. No, 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 Lord. I want to go to Hawaii or maybe Florida. I was not thinking about Africa and India. Then what you say, Lord, whatever your will is, I want to obey. And when you are sold out to God, God will provide. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And we are going to follow you. Wherever you say go, we'll go. Whatever you say do, we will do. And we want to please you, not please people. Your servant Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, if I start pleasing people, I will not be the servant of God. So, Lord Jesus, we don't want to please people. We want to please you. Bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. We commit our lives into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.